Welcome to Jazz Noir, a celebration of the great days of radio when our families, friends, and community would gather around the magic box to experience stories told through the power of sound alone. Stories which gave us drama, music, adventure, humor, and ultimately insights into our human condition. This Jazz Noir edition, live from the Dakota in downtown Minneapolis, features The Black Hand Side That Feeds You, an original radio drama set in North Minneapolis in 1967, written by Christina Hamm with a jazz score composed by John Penny. Jazz Noir is made possible through support provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and Jazz 88 KBEM in Minneapolis. And now, Jazz Noir is pleased to premiere The Black Hand Side That Feeds You.
Are you listening? This is Pastor Don Crawley, your reverend that's a legend with you at the top of the dial, at the top of the world on 1570 KUXL, the heartbeat of North Minneapolis, burning you the cool jazz tunes that'll heat you up.
I'm Leslie Manfred, your commissioner of sound on 88.1 The Jazz Standard, the pulse of the Midwest, bringing you the classic and the modern of the jazz pantheon.
You regular listeners know I often quote Dr. King's speech from the 1964 Berlin Jazz Festival.
In a few minutes, we'll go to the vault to the 1963 Monterey Jazz Festival.
Everybody has the blues, everybody longs for meaning, everybody needs to love and be loved. In this broad category called jazz, there is a stepping stone towards all of these.
I spoke with Freddie Two Fingers guitarist Fish Hand Atkins before they performed their set featuring Freddie's most political song to date, Send for the Preacher, which we'll listen to in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord with Send for the Preacher off of Freddie's second album, I Sin, Therefore I Am, on 1570 KUXL.
They say bad luck comes in threes. For me, it came in five. Knuckles.
Hit him again, Walt. Ah. Where is she?
She cut out.
She claimed you spanked her.
It's 67. Women like that sort of thing these days.
The only thing keeping you alive is that I have other plans for you.
I love plans, so I can break them. You mind helping me to my bed?
I like you better on your knees. It's how I plan on remembering you.
My stomach hurt after Walt tried to exterminate the butterflies in it. But Marjorie had smoked my last square, and that was as bad as the run in her silk stocking. How the hell did I end up like this? Oh, yeah. It started 4 days ago. The garbage trucks came sweating down Plymouth Avenue with the rhythm and blues of an all-night juke joint. I was at the Ballyhoo a few hours earlier listening to Freddie and his trio from my byline, but couldn't juggle two things at once when a skirt named Lois came to my table, licking her tiny lips like a feral cat. I noticed a brand new Mercedes parked across the street. The driver stared at my window, considering its possibilities like an architect, while an interior decorator would have admired the focal point of the snub nose on my nightstand. I shut the blinds. I'd seen the car before, but couldn't remember where. At the time, it didn't seem important, but looks can be deceiving. Who is it?
I live on the first floor.
By the way, I'm Bob.
Yes, I know who you are. It's 7:50 in the morning, and I'm wondering if you could keep it down. It sounds like a Clydesdales live up here.
The beauty mark that used to live in your apartment never had any complaints.
Well, I didn't want us to get off on the wrong feet.
In this apartment, it's the bed springs you'll have to worry about, not my feet.
Mr. Carroll assured me that this would be a quiet building.
Why don't you hang out up here like Beauty Mark did, and we can make some noise?
Thanks for your time.
Did we resolve something without you coming in to have a drink?
I hope so.
Well, I didn't get your name. But she was gone, like good booze. I stood in the doorway, waiting for her to look back at me. Come on. But she didn't. I figured she was playing it cool, and I could do the same. After my neighbor split, I checked my window again and noticed the Mercedes was gone. I never worried about my neighbors in North Minneapolis. It was the outsiders you had to worry about.
Knock, knock, old Donnie.
Come on. Mr. Carroll! Yeah. Yeah, your mother's gonna feed you all your meals through a straw.
You ain't so tough now.
Whoa.
Easy, Walt. We're not here to shoot Mr. Olson. Who's Mr. Carroll?
My landlord.
The chrome dome with the foul mouth?
Bingo.
He thought I was a prostitute.
One of the highest compliments a woman can receive.
Put some clothes on. Can't you see a lady's present?
Nobody tells me to put my clothes on, especially when a lady's present.
Leave him alone. It's his house. Let him do as he pleases. Wait for me outside, Walt.
Yes, ma'am. This ain't over, old Donnie.
Yeah, I can hit on the break whenever you're ready. Thought he'd never cut out. So, that was your Mercedes outside.
One of them. Walt told me he saw your final bout against Ricky O'Shea when you were fighting under your real name, Roberto Aldani from Hurley, Wisconsin.
Where the 51 ends and the fun begins.
I wonder about a guy who's won fight from the championship but walks away and changes his name to Bob Olson like he's some kind of palooka.
Did you come here to read my tea leaves, or do you want to come to bed and let me read your mind for the next hour or so?
I've seen you in my club for the last couple of years.
Marjorie, before you say anything, what happens at the ballyhoo between me and your cigarette and coat check girls is between two, sometimes three, consenting adults.
That's why you think I'm here.
Oh, well, we'll have to keep it down. I've got a new neighbor who hasn't learned to appreciate the benefits of being underneath me.
How's it been working for Ezra?
Well, the circulation of liner notes has gone from two to three. Me, Ezra, and now his wife. Let me get your zipper.
Sounds like an improvement from when you were in Milwaukee.
I'll take Mill City over Brew City any day.
You put their paper in the middle of one of the largest criminal libel lawsuits in Wisconsin history.
Listen, I may have exaggerated the truth, but at the root of that story were the facts. The reality is people are tired of hearing that at our core we're a cheating, greedy, violent, and racist country that can send men to fight and die for this democracy, but bury them in segregated graves. But people don't want to read that kind of thing anymore with their morning coffee, so they need a patsy like me to blame for bringing it to them. You want a spoon?
Instead of licking your wounds in Homewood, how would you like to do an interview with Freddie?
Freddie's never spoken to any reporter. When Leslie Manfred tried to ask him a question, he swung an upright bass at him like Willie Mays.
Freddie does whatever I tell him to.
Looks like it's Christmas in July. What do I have to do?
Look after my little sister.
What? I don't babysit ankle biters.
She's 21.
Oh, she's legal. Things are looking up.
It's just for a week until we go overseas.
Don't you have someone else you can trust to do this?
The only thing I trust is a dollar.
What kind of scratch are we talking about?
Enough to pay off all your legal fees, outstanding debts, and a per diem.
I don't take checks.
And that's good, because I don't carry them.
She left a wad of crisp C notes on top of my dresser. From where I stood, it looked like it was close to 5 G's, maybe more. I didn't bother counting them. Based on her measurements, I knew she was good for it. I wish I weren't so easy, but you work with what God's given you.
Walt will drop off Valerie tomorrow, and you'll watch her until I get home.
Things don't usually wrap up at the ballyhoo until 4 a.m. or later. That cuts into my extracurricular time.
If things run later than expected, I'll pay you overtime.
Sounds fair.
I'll also talk to my people in Milwaukee about your trouble with their family. I'm sure I can get them to come to an agreement that will satisfy both parties. Mm,
I can't wait to be satisfied.
Then we have a deal.
She held out her hand for me to shake, but now I was practically family and tried to seal it with a kiss instead.
I'm married.
Well, let's just chalk it up as part of my retainer. Marjorie Nichols' family owned the Ballyhoo, one of the last 24-karat jazz clubs in the Twin Cities. It mainly had Negro musicians playing there, but a black and tan crowd that had a mutual appreciation for music that was steamy and cool. Sure, there were still joints like the Blue Note and Big Al's, but those places didn't have Freddie or Marjorie. I had no doubt Marjorie could get me an audience with Freddie. I picked up some challah to celebrate my good news with Ezra, the owner of Liner Notes and the beneficiary of my good fortune. His office was conveniently around the corner from my apartment. The heat index was 98 and climbing, so the bread stayed hot while it baked in the palm of my hand.
Is this challah a peace offering?
For what?
Bob.
Ah, Ezra, keep your froth to a pint instead of a liter.
You were supposed to interview that university jazz trio at 11 o'clock. They waited on you for 2 hours.
You don't want to waste ink on what they're panhandling as jazz. They can do that in Seven Corners, but we're better than that on the North Side.
My nephew's in that trio.
Make it up to him at Hanukkah.
I'm going to have to call my sister and smooth things over. We're supposed to go to press today.
Listen, let me do a 300-word piece on that strawberry blonde vocalist I checked out the other night in Golden Valley.
No.
She had some interesting melismas.
I'm not going to lose the credibility of this paper by trading sexual favors for coverage.
Oh, let's run Jennifer's photo with 200 words.
Who the hell's Jennifer?
Strawberry.
She got a calendar listing. That's more than she deserved. Get out of my office so I can call my sister.
What if I told you that I could get an interview with Freddie?
Huh? I'm supposed to believe Freddie suddenly going to speak to you without incident? When every day you've got me wanting to crack a chair over your head?
Marjorie promised me an exclusive with him.
Huh? You spoke to Marjorie, huh?
In my boxers.
Jesus, Bob.
Hey, I can't argue with a woman who insists I leave my clothes off.
I've never known Marjorie to promise access to Freddie. Maybe I should take a crack at this.
You and I both know a goldfish like you shouldn't swim in the deep end with us sharks. This story's mine.
I've still got that futures file stuffed with possible stories on musicians that would happily speak with us.
What are you so afraid of, Ezra?
You can't do this the way you did in Milwaukee.
I know.
I don't need any death threats. I promised my wife I'd take her to Hawaii one day.
This story is on every reporter's bucket list.
I have to be in St. Paul tonight to cover a show, and I need you in Wayzata. Here are two tickets. Take one of your girlfriends. It's a decent quintet. You know I'm friends with the owner, so don't embarrass me.
I don't catch your drift.
Bob, everyone knows that you review the shows that you want to, and you make up reviews for the ones that you don't stay for.
Do you want Freddie's story or not?
Give me some of that challah. Well, go to Wayzata and shut the door so I can call my sister.
Keep your tickets to Wayzata. I need to be at the Ballyhoo. 100 words on the strawberry and the other 200 on that Gibson your nephew supposedly plays.
Bob!
You're frothing, Ezra.
Who's this guy that's looking after me?
I told you, a friend of the family.
How long is he watching me?
Until we go overseas next Monday.
And it'll be just the two of us? No bodyguards, no shrinks, no pills?
Yes, dear.
Sounds too good to be true.
Have I ever let you down? I didn't hear an answer.
No. I didn't know he lived over here.
You never listen.
You'd be surprised at the things I hear.
Did you take your medication?
You made Walt open my mouth and double-check.
Then where is this mood coming from?
Stop pretending you don't know.
The sooner you learn to forget.
How can you tell me to forget him?
Men put mileage on a woman.
He loved me. Just because you don't have that in your marriage.
You don't know the first thing about my marriage and how my husband indulges me indulging you.
You don't indulge me, you tolerate me.
Your mascara's running. Take my handkerchief.
Can't the two of us just spend the day together?
I used to dream that the two of us would run the club together.
I had a dream. I was Mrs. Crowley.
You realize the cup size a gal's gotta have to be the only woman in a man's world?
The club is your world, not mine.
All I can do now is make sure you can hold up your head and not slur your words.
You tidy up all of my messes.
That's what big sisters do. Try this new lipstick.
Lipstick is for clowns.
Then welcome to the circus.
I was on a tear to figure out what questions to ask Freddy for my article. He had a short attention span and a fuse that wasn't drawn to scale. I couldn't fumble through my notebook. I had to kick around the questions ahead of time and have them memorized when I sat down with him. This wasn't some human interest story, and I wasn't going to ask him, "Where did your nickname come from?" or "What is jazz?" That was for amateurs. I wanted to ask him, how can jazz begin to culturally disrupt the rock and roll and folk markets by rethinking the experience of improvised music? The fact was, Freddie was as mysterious as the art of jazz itself. I may not have been able to get my arms around either one, but I was sure going to take a crack at it. Yeah, I'm coming. And there she was, a fragile doe that had set foot on this hunter's doorstep during off-season. You must be Blackjack.
Why do you call me Blackjack?
You're 21, aren't you?
And you're 45?
I'm Bob. Do me a favor, take off your shoes. My neighbor wants me to dance a soft shoe up here.
This place is a dump.
A man's dump is still his castle.
Is this a picture of you?
Yeah.
You look Italian.
No, I still am sometimes.
There was a time your kind couldn't live in this neighborhood.
I don't want to live here now.
You look happy.
I was 8 and didn't know any better.
You box?
Used to.
Were you any good?
Undefeated.
What happened?
I got bored.
Trying to live up to everyone else's expectations that choke off your desire to live?
Blackjack, it sounds like you're not getting enough whiskey in your diet.
I can't. It would interact with my medications.
How many meds are we talking?
8 or 9.
You some kind of snap case?
That's what my second doctor said.
You ever been to the Funny Farm?
Yes.
My mother went too.
Really?
She was in and out of loony bins most of my life.
Did the doctors ever cure her?
Well, she cured herself with my dad's handgun.
I'm sorry.
Cut it out. You didn't know her.
My doctors told me to take things slow and easy.
That's my motto.
Marjorie said you're a friend of the family, but I've never seen you around before.
I don't hang out in padded cells.
What are you working on?
A feature on Freddy.
Him again.
I should be giving ink to the cats who can only play 3 chords.
Freddy only talks to my sister.
She's getting me the interview.
Marjorie never does anyone a favor.
Yeah, no one can resist these dimples.
What are you up to, Marjorie?
Look, you're making me nervous. Come over here and sit down.
Offering a $5,000 reward to anyone with information about our son Lonnie's murder. Our son was no addict, and we won't rest until his killer is brought to justice. But right now, I want to burn one of his favorites. It's another Freddy tune. The Two-Finger Thump, here on 1570 KUXL.
I need my pills.
Remember, slow and easy.
I'm trying.
What's wrong with your lips?
What do you mean?
Your lipstick's all smeared, and I haven't even kissed you yet. got Blackjack around 2 a.m., and she was already on her date with the Sandman. She was knocked out on the red, white, and blue she took. Some patriotism. I'd kissed her to calm her down, but I wasn't interested in making her a regular part of my diet. I changed into my Rogers Pete suit that my trainer had gotten me after I won my first fight, because I'd moved up the food chain and I wanted everyone to know it.
I stopped by your place the other night, Dimples.
What time?
About 3:30 in the morning. I had to put my kids to bed and then I snuck out.
Vera, you shouldn't do that on my account.
Oh, I thought we had something going, Bob.
Oh, we'll always have the back of the coat check. Me, you, and what was her name? Ah, give me a pack of Chesterfields. You seen Marjorie?
Ugh, she's in her booth.
I had gotten there before Freddy's set started. Don Crowley was in a corner booth surrounded by people still helping him mourn his son Lonnie. It was strange, awake in the middle of a party. I was making a beeline to Marjorie's booth when...
Roberto!
You probably recognize Leslie Manfred's voice, host of the Jazz Standard. Originally from back east, he settled here to officially take the heavyweight title Big Fish. He could get any of the jazz greats to take his call. He also had a standing invitation to the round table at Ernie Fliegel's 620 Club, while his wife was a former beauty queen and a good 20 years younger than him. And did I bother to mention that Billy May asked him to play on Sinatra's Come Fly With Me? He had the good life in spades, and he was constantly raking in my chips. Les... Just the guy I wanted to see.
You old son of a gun. What are you drinking?
Whatever you're having.
Waiter, a glass of Sandemann for my friend.
Make it a bottle, since we're friends.
You should swing by my studio tomorrow around 3 o'clock. Let me introduce you to Sarah Vaughan.
Oh, I'd love to. I'll get her to sign my copy of her new album. How's Rosalind in that tiara of hers?
My wife's pregnant with our first child.
Oh, congratulations, Les. Dirty diapers couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Then here's to opportunity.
You're drooling over me the same way you drool over Vera every week. You need a bib, Les?
She told me you broke her heart.
Well, she broke my headboard, so we're even.
Marjorie says she's getting you an exclusive with Freddy. I've been asking her for years, but here you come along, and I figure you must have something on Marjorie. But for the life of me, I can't figure out what it is.
Or I'm just a damn good reporter.
Come here, Daddy-O.
Oh, Les, your breath could really stand one of those mints the girls are shoveling.
You and I both know that you don't have what it takes. You're a hack, a womanizer, and a drunk.
At the track, that's what's known as the trifecta.
A lot of people have been trying to talk to Freddy.
I know
Let me
this.
Finish. The way I see it, we can be partners on this thing.
I'm a solo act, Les.
Don't be stupid, Roberto. My show's nationally syndicated. Procter & Gamble pay a pretty penny for that kind of exposure, and you'd be getting it for free. This Friday, I'm broadcasting live from the Ballyhoo. I want you as my guest during the opening segment to discuss what it was like to be the first reporter to interview Freddy. In the next segment, Freddy can talk about whatever he wants. I'd even throw in a few guest appearances with me at the 620 Club. You've always wanted a seat at the table. How about being seated next to George Mikan? You could return to the big leagues in first class.
Thanks for the drink, Les. I see Marjorie.
Don't be Marjorie's lapdog for too long.
But life as a lapdog wasn't so bad, especially when the lap was soft and warm and well-groomed. Tonight it was wearing trainer Norell, and I had big plans to lay my head on that lap and see if she'd give me a biscuit.
Bob!
I thought I'd stop over before Freddy began his set. Think I can say a few words to him when he's finished?
Not yet.
He just released his 10th album in 40 years. Number one on the Billboard charts. Everyone's talking Grammy Awards.
Shall I lease you as a press agent? Have a seat.
Maybe some quick words to the other cats in his trio?
Sit next to me. Have you met my husband?
Do I have to?
This is...
Names aren't necessary. We know we aren't going to be friends. She whispered something into her old man's ear, and he took a hike. Wow, usually I don't chase him off that easy.
He's got business to take care of.
So do I. I'm about to peel his wife a grape.
New suit.
You like it?
I do.
I'd like to see your birthday suit. Let me flick you.
I need for you to keep quiet around my sister about the details of our arrangement.
I never said anything.
I'm talking, and you're interrupting. She told Walt you mentioned you were going to interview Freddy. I don't need her drawing any drug-addled conclusions in her fragile state.
And what conclusions would those be?
The kind that lead to dead ends in her mind.
Oh, well, we wouldn't want that.
I want to review the questions that you're going to ask Freddy before you sit down with him.
That wasn't part of the deal.
I renegotiate contracts frequently.
You seem tense. Have some scotch.
Just do as I say, and there'll be no hard feelings.
No problem. You seem preoccupied with Don Crowley's table.
His kind of grief is bad for business. What were you and Les over there whispering about?
Oh, he's just trying to teach me how to roll over and play dead. And just like that, Freddy was on stage. I reached for Marjorie's wedding band free hand, but...
We'll talk soon, Bob.
She slipped out of the booth and into the arms of her husband, what's-his-name, who had her mink stole waiting. I looked over at Les, who'd raised his glass to me. I returned the gesture and washed down my exchange with Marjorie. Les knew his offer was too good to pass up. Still, I was going to let him hang out to dry for a bit. But that was okay. Freddy was smoking, and I was loving the contact high. I never thought I'd be the kind of schmuck to stand up Sarah Vaughan, but sometimes an IQ isn't something you're just born with. I hadn't worked on Freddy's interview since yesterday. My talk with Marjorie had rubbed salt on that cold sore. She thought my interview with Freddy may rattle Blackjack, but it seemed to disturb Marjorie more. I had to grab a burger at the Hi-Hat, and it turned out Alice was doing the same.
I thought I had the place to myself.
Rough day?
Yes. Veteran Affairs likes delivering bad news about my husband.
Listen, I have a buddy that works in the VA regional office.
Thanks, but I'll handle it when my mother gets up here next week.
You should let me rap to you over dinner sometime.
Is that how you talk to all the women?
Old Donnie, you need to take Valerie.
Walt, you're 2 hours early and I'm on my lunch break.
Marjorie's paying you enough money to take her when I say so. Tell your Morzhinka to take a hike.
You saw what I did to Ricky O'Shea in the 15th round. You want the same treatment?
That's okay, Bob. I was just
leaving. No. We haven't decided what night we were having dinner.
I don't want to cause any trouble.
Oh, it's no trouble. Right, Pulaski?
I need to take care of this thing for Marjorie.
You're cutting into my extracurricular time.
You want your time with Freddy to get cut?
Where is she?
Bobby sucks.
Blackjack, right now you look like you shouldn't be operating heavy machinery. Like your mind.
Valerie?
Alice?
What the hell are you doing here?
I don't know.
Well, I see you like your women like you like your eggs. Soft and scrambled.
Alice and I kept getting off on the wrong foot. If she was going to be a partner, she'd have to learn how to follow. In the meantime, I was going to find out how loose Blackjack's marbles were when it came to Freddy. Here, drink this coffee.
Be a good dog and fetch my pills.
Junkyard dogs don't fetch. Open your mouth.
Come on, Bobby Sox.
Don't call me that. Take the cup.
No.
Oh, well, then I'm just going to have to force it down your hatch.
Stop.
Oh, hey. Oh, you want a spar, is that it? Oh.
Spanking me.
Not until you tell me what I need to know about Freddy.
I don't know anything.
I'm not digging what you're shoveling, sister. You grew up with this guy around your family.
I was Becky's getting my head shrunk while he was around my family.
The cats in Freddy's band must know something.
If you can get to them. They live with Freddy and their families on my sister's estate, so she can monitor their comings and goings.
Well, there's got to be someone else who's tried to speak to him.
Lonnie Crowley was the last person that asked a lot of questions about Freddy and it got him murdered.
What makes you think Don Crowley's son was murdered?
My gut.
Right now you're swatting at flies.
It's the truth.
What did Lonnie find out about Freddy?
He said he was telling me as soon as he had it all added up, but he was murdered before he could. You still want that interview with Freddy?
More than ever. How do you know Alice?
She worked with Lonnie at TCOIC.
Spell it out for me.
Twin Cities Opportunities Industrialization Center.
Never heard of it.
They train Negroes to get better jobs.
Why is she mad at you?
I think she misses Lonnie, too.
When did you meet Lonnie?
In April, at the Dr. King rally. Things happened pretty quickly after that.
So, he got to second base.
He was my husband.
Home run.
We made plans when we found out about the baby.
You're pregnant?
3 months. But now that he's dead, I don't want to live either.
Apparently, people think your husband had a smack problem.
That's a lie. Lonnie never even took an aspirin.
His dad found him in the KUXL studio with the needle still in his arm.
He was murdered.
By who?
How should I know? As far as the cops are concerned, he's just another dead junkie. Meanwhile, the killer's gotten off scot-free. Don't make me go back to Marjorie's.
I looked at Blackjack, who was a strange cocktail of confused and terrified. Whoever killed Lonnie might also try to kill her if they thought he told her anything before he died. I'd drop her off for an hour at Ezra's, where he could watch her suck on her thoughts like a Tootsie Pop while I went to TCOIC to talk to Alice about Lonnie.
So like I was saying, Lonnie tried to help the Negroes and other minorities at TCOIC learn how to work in the white man's world. And live in it, too.
How'd he manage that with heavy baggage like Valerie?
He didn't. That's probably the reason he OD'd.
You didn't look happy to see her earlier.
Naive women like her are dangerous.
Did Lonnie strike you as the kind of guy with a heroin problem?
No, but who really knows anyone these days?
You think Valerie had something to do with his death?
Some of my students that work in the club scene around town don't have nice things to say about the Ballyhoo, or Valerie's sister that runs it. I figure the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Were you in love with Lonnie?
What kind of question is that?
Yeah, he was a good-looking guy. You two worked closely together until Valerie...
I liked Lonnie a lot, but a militant brother isn't my type. Guys like him are protesting against my husband who died for this country.
Are any of Lonnie's papers here?
The police seized them as evidence after he died. Why are you asking these questions?
I'm writing an article on Freddie Two Fingers.
Ah. For the Tribune?
It's more of a niche publication. Liner notes.
Well, you never struck me as a reporter. Just handsome.
Well, that was progress. I think there's a connection between Freddie and Lonnie. Maybe one of your students might be willing to talk to me?
Don't ask me to name names, Bob.
Did you straighten that thing out with the VA?
They can't even find his body.
I'll take this.
What is it?
The phone number of my buddy at the VA regional office.
Thank you.
No problem.
Lonnie spent a lot of time at the Musicians Union on Glenwood.
Thanks, Alice.
Please be careful, Bob.
I promise. But I couldn't make any guarantees. She walked into the classroom to a bunch of students hungry for her attention. They were lucky enough to have her. No, backspace. I wished at that moment I could have her too. A musician could come to the local 73 and pick up a gig, get some food, shoot pool, play some cards. There was also a guy who made a special batch of moonshine you could get by the pint if you asked for an E-flat. I was pretty tight with Willie, the union secretary treasurer, and the kind of guy who'd go through your closet and wear your suit while he was dating your wife.
Katz is saying Marjorie's letting you talk to Freddie. I would love to be in your Johnston & Murphy's right now.
Yeah, you'd be wearing a dead man's shoes.
What's happening?
What kind of work was Lonnie doing for the local?
He was trying to make sure every musician, especially the Negro ones, joined. But a lot of those cats knew the club owners wouldn't let them play in the joints if they became a member.
I'm guessing Marjorie was one of those owners?
Don't have to be Einstein to know when something's nonlinear.
Which means Freddie never joined.
A union still reminds cats in his generation of communism.
Do you know why Lonnie was asking a lot of questions about Freddie?
Lonnie's lawyer friend from the U was working on a case where he found out something about Freddie's royalties.
Who was this lawyer?
Hell if I know, Bob. Kid was always raising his fist about something. The one time he was pounding it on the table, I wasn't paying attention.
I'll talk to his dad, see if he knows something. Listen, I gotta ask. Did the kid do smack?
He could score smack, booze, or broads from these guys whenever he wanted. I never saw him under the influence of either.
Thanks, Willie.
Hey, you want some E-flat to go? Looks like you could use it.
Yeah, I'll take a rain check. Right now, I really need to find out what happened with Freddy's royalties. I needed to speak with Don Crowley, but I had to get back to my place first. I was running late and figured Walt and Blackjack would already be waiting on my doorstep. Instead, my front door was open. Freddy was playing on the hi-fi, and a bath was running. But something was fishy about this bath. Oh, no! Oh, Blackjack, hey! Hey! Whiskey and pills, what are you trying to be, a cliché?
Maybe.
Let me see your wrists.
I couldn't find your razor.
Oh. The same people that killed Lonnie might come back for you if they think he told you something. You trying to do their dirty work for him?
I don't care. I miss him so much.
She cried on my shoulder for a second, wearing only my face towel. It was the only protection I could offer her. I need to go speak with your father-in-law.
I'm going with you.
You're in no shape
Please.
To go...
Mr. Crowley wouldn't let me come to Lonnie's funeral. I want him to know how much I loved Lonnie, too.
Then fix your face, put some pins in that hair, and some lotion on those traffic stoppers. Here's your dress.
Thank you.
She gave me a peck on the cheek. She was my fragile meal ticket, and I had to help her hold it together until I got through the buffet line.
Bob, what a surprise.
My condolences, Don.
Thank you. What is she doing here?
She's helping me piece together this thing with Lonnie. You probably heard Marjorie's going to let me talk to Freddy.
Congratulations. I have to be on the air in 5 minutes.
I heard Lonnie found out something about Freddy's royalties. You know anything about this?
I might.
He glanced at Valerie, and I got the hint. Let's go to your office. Blackjack, sit pretty.
How's Ezra?
He's got piles, so he's bent. Mm.
I heard that Milwaukee Mafia family dropped those libel charges. You must have friends in high places.
Actually, in high heels. Who's this lawyer friend of Lonnie's?
He represented two cats from the Ballyhoo who were getting robbed blind by Marjorie. In her contract, she dings musicians for everything from turning on the lights in the dressing room to mopping the stage after they're done. After a two-week gig, these cats bring home less than $20.
Why would they sign a contract like that?
Because she sets up deals with her record executive friends for them, and then she gets a large chunk of their royalties for doing it.
Is that legal?
Wrong question. Is it ethical?
Did Lonnie know how much of Freddie's royalty she'd taken?
$1 million.
How could she do that?
Because Freddie's mentally ill and has always been one of those Uncle Tom cats who puts his trust in the man rather than the brother.
Do you think Marjorie had anything to do with Lonnie's death?
It's no secret. Marjorie also runs smack out of the Ballyhoo and could have easily made sure my son got a taste. She had the most to lose if Lonnie told Freddie about his royalties.
I gotta ask, did Lonnie do smack?
Absolutely not. I know a fiend when I see one in the club on Saturday night or at my altar call Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Can I use your phone?
Go ahead.
Thanks.
Have you asked yourself why Marjorie's really letting you interview Freddie?
Because she asked me to watch your daughter-in-law.
What?
Yeah, it's just until they go overseas next week.
I bet my life that Valerie knows something she's not telling about Lonnie's death.
Now, she's been a real head case since your son died, so I'd cut her some slack. After all, she's going to be the mother of your grandchild.
Say what?
That's right, Grandpa. You got 2 minutes before you have to be on the air. I'll call Ezra when I get home. Thanks again for your time.
You're welcome. Bob. If Marjorie leaves town, she'll never pay for what she did to my boy.
Don, if she really did it, I'll make sure she doesn't leave. Let's go, Blackjack.
I'm sorry.
Blackjack hung herself around Don like an overcoat, and he buttoned her up.
I'm sorry, too.
Miss Nichols, what a pleasant surprise.
Nice little setup you've got, Ezra. Terrific view of the fire hydrant.
Here, let me move these newspapers so you can have a seat.
Thank you.
I can grab a chair for your friend.
That won't be necessary. Walt likes to stand.
Can I get you something to drink?
A snifter of gin would be nice.
Well, I'm all out of snifters, but I've got some paper cups.
I forgot. I'm on the north side. Nice preview piece you did for our club.
Yeah, they're a talented quartet. What can I do for you?
I was hoping I might find Bob here.
Bob never works. And when he does, it's under a skirt. You're welcome to wait here, but I know that you're a very busy lady.
I wish Bob was as considerate of my feelings as you are, Ezra. It makes me almost wish I promised the Freddy exclusive to you instead.
My plate's too full to give an exclusive like that the kind of justice it deserves.
I'm sure writing about university trios and third-billed singers taxes your reserves. Has he updated you about where he is with the Freddy story?
Oh, Bob never updates me about anything. Honestly, he's one of the worst employees I've ever had.
So he hasn't mentioned what sources he's been speaking to regarding Freddy?
I'm telling you, he's the worst employee I've had.
Unfortunately, I don't believe you.
Well, you're welcome to leave Bob a note, and I'll make sure that he gets it.
I plan on leaving Bob a message, but I don't need a piece of paper to do it.
What is it?
Bob has been sticking his nose in places that it doesn't belong.
I'm not interested in getting this paper involved in any kind of lawsuit, Marjorie. I'm sure that we can work all this out when Bob gets here.
Are you expecting a call?
Well, my wife usually calls and tells me what to get from the store before I come home. Today we're out of milk.
You're also out of luck. I like you because I've always thought of you as being inconsequential, Ezra. Unfortunately, your rag has now put me in a very bad position.
Well, whatever it is, Marjorie, let's get Bob in here and work this thing out.
I have other plans for Bob. And you, too.
I knew your father.
I hated my father. Walt, deal with this.
My pleasure.
No. No, please, please.
Looks like you're making the front page of tomorrow's edition.
No!
After we left KUXL, something told me to stay clear of my place, so I took Blackjack to TCOIC where Alice was still working.
Something terrible has happened.
Yeah, it's called the Aquatennial.
What's wrong?
I can't get Ezra on the phone. It's not like him. Yeah, I'll try again in a few minutes.
Well, do you want something to eat?
No, we're not staying long. Marjorie's goon, Walt, is probably looking for us.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know. My buddy has a place on the UP.
Or maybe to Lonnie's parents' house?
If that's what you want.
Did Marjorie kill Lonnie?
It looks that way.
You're lying.
Lonnie found out your sister was stealing royalties from Negro musicians, and he threatened to break her piggy bank by telling Freddie the truth. She had to kill him.
But she knew I loved Lonnie.
The only thing your sister loves is a dollar.
I need my pills.
What's wrong with you? You don't bring 1,000 milligrams to a bare-knuckle fight like this.
Valerie, do you want to die a junkie the way they claim Lonnie died?
Of course not.
Then maybe Bob has a point.
She's the only family I've got. She's always looked out for me.
Let's get something straight, girlie. A skirt like your sister's never had your best interests at heart.
You're wrong about her.
Look, Sniffles, I get it. You're against the ropes and you're scared. But you don't have to be. You need to learn how to sucker her in and fight on the inside.
She's always been so much stronger than me.
That's what she wants you to think. But the odds are in your favor. Hey, you're pregnant. It's 2-1.
If Marjorie finds out what you know, she'll kill you too.
I'll talk to her.
Oh, and say what? Don't shoot?
I said I'll deal with her. On her terms.
Here, take this.
It's a gun. I can't...
Your sister paid me to watch you. Nothing about that job has changed for me.
It's loaded.
Yep. It's high noon, Annie Oakley.
Valerie, I just want to say I'm sorry.
For what?
Thinking you and your sister were the same. I should have known you really did care for Lonnie.
Thanks, Alice.
Alice, when I get back...
My mother and I are heading to D.C. to see if we can find out the truth about what happened to my husband and his squad in Vietnam. I'll have to take a rain check on that dinner.
Thanks for all your help.
You just make sure the world really knows who Lonnie was.
Let's bust this thing wide open. I was a block away from the liner notes when I saw the coroner zipping up Ezra's lifeless body and putting it in the back of the meat wagon. I looked around and didn't spot Marjorie's Mercedes, and the light in my apartment was still off. I figured it was safe to go inside and pack quickly before Blackjack and I split. When I opened the door and turned on the light, I had company.
You're a hard guy to find, Bob.
Usually when I turn on the light, the roaches scatter.
I get the feeling there's a fissure that's developed between us.
Yeah, the size of the Grand Canyon. How'd you get in?
I told the landlord I was your fiancé.
Oh, I hear you're real good at the till death do us part.
You shouldn't believe everything you hear. It's hazardous to your health. Where's my sister?
I have no idea.
Things are about to get very difficult for you if you don't stop lying to me. Flick me, Bob.
Not right now, Marjorie. How about you stop lying to me?
I never lied to you. You took the assignment and money without any questions. Then when you find out the cost is too high, you do what all you macho types do. Hide behind my skirt.
Here's the rest of your money. Should be about 3,500 bucks there. Now take a hike.
You've asked enough questions about me around town to know that the only way to repay me is with interest.
I'm interested in seeing you hang by that Hermes scarf for what you've done. You had Lonnie killed because he found out you really make your money by stealing musicians' royalties.
Lonnie signed his death warrant when he came to my house calling me names. How am I a thief if Freddy's never read one contract I've given him?
Why'd you kill Ezra? He didn't know anything.
I figured he didn't, but one can never be too careful.
It's not as wrapped up as you think, baby. People know all about you, and the ones that don't will find out from me soon enough.
Bob, you and I both know you're a minor chord, not a major. The worms will be the only one to hear your story. I'm going to ask you one more time. Where's my sister?
She knows what you did to Lonnie, and she split.
I'll fix it. That's what I'll do. She'll believe whatever I tell her because she knows I have her best interest at heart.
If you're going to kill me, you better get that manicure dirty.
You should know by now I never lift a finger. Walt does.
Round two, old Donnie.
They say bad luck comes in threes. For me, it came in five. Knuckles.
Valerie, where have you been?
Thinking.
Did you make sure you took your medication when that starts to happen?
Don't worry about that.
If I don't worry, who will? You had me worried sick. How long have you been waiting in my office?
You know, time means nothing to me anymore.
Look at you, sitting in my chair, all grown up. How does it feel?
Not what I expected.
It never is. I could have saved you the trouble of coming to the bathroom.
Why did you kill the one person I cared about in this entire world?
I'll try not to take it as an insult that you cared more about a militant Negro man than your big sister who's looked after you almost your entire life.
You've only looked after yourself.
Is that what Bob told you?
I can see who you really are for myself.
Who was the one that dealt with our father when he snuck into our bedroom and put his hand over your mouth, but I offered myself instead?
How many times do you want me to pay penance for that?
Until I say it's enough! But you know I rarely get satiated.
I don't understand you anymore.
All you need to know is that I'm in the process of building an empire. One day this will all go to you and every man you meet will be your footstool.
This empire is built on quicksand since you had the man that I loved killed.
What you lack is perspective. You'll look back on this as a rough patch in an otherwise glorious life.
You're raving.
I've been able to tie up some loose ends so that we can leave tonight. We'll spend a few weeks in Hong Kong and then work our way...
I'm not going.
Don't be silly. Our bags are packed, I've got our passports, traveler's checks...
And neither are you.
Is this a new you that you've been working on with your therapist and he never told me about it?
All of my life, you made me feel like I was the crazy one. but you're the one that's really crazy. I feel sorry for you, Marjorie.
Do you think I give a penny for your pity? Who are you to lay down on your chaise lounge every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and cry about me behind my back to your shrink that I pay for? While I've been fighting trench warfare in these streets, you've lived in your little glass house on the hill with all the lights out in your head about what really happens here in Near North. The things I see running this club would make your skin fall off its bone. Figurines like you need women like me to build the shelves you sit on in judgment. And you hate me for it. But I feed on your hate, and it keeps me nice and fat, especially in the wintertime. You're nothing but a dead limb on our family's tree. What happened to my gun?
I took the bullets out of it. Walt would have realized it was lighter before he fired it.
Dear heart.
You always thought you were a better shot than me.
Valor!
Let me prove to you how wrong you are.
That's the best you've got?
You taught me well, Marjorie. Always aim for the heart.
Walt had tried to work me over on the inside pretty good, but the reason I stopped fighting, that I never mentioned to Marjorie, is I put Ricky O'Shea in a coma in the 15th round. Walt had forgotten this, and let's just say he wasn't looking too good when the cops came to peel him off my apartment floor. Turns out Valerie had done a TKO on her big sister. I could barely walk, but I had to get to the ballyhoo. I heard Les was going to scoop me by interviewing Freddy first for his live broadcast. Hey, Vera.
Bob, I have a boyfriend now, and he's not going to like you talking to me.
Have you seen...
You think women are your doormats that you can wipe your feet on? But I have more respect for myself now.
Good for you, Vera. Give me a pack of Chesterfields.
Here. Jesus, Bob. You look like hell.
Vera didn't realize I wasn't the man she knew on Monday. I didn't see Les around, but I did see Don and slid into his booth.
Bob, you okay?
I've been better, I've been worse. I haven't decided which one this is yet.
You want something to drink?
Not right now. Good news. The cops arrested Lonnie's murderer.
What?
Marjorie admitted to having him killed. The guy the cops picked up in my apartment killed Ezra and probably killed Lonnie, too. They should be booking him right about now.
How did you get Marjorie to admit it?
I'm thinking I'll bring that out in a four-part series.
Well, it doesn't matter how you did it. I'm grateful to you just the same. My son can finally rest with his name cleared.
I wish I could do more, like bring him back.
Bob, you may be a lot of things, but Jesus ain't one of them. You know that reward is yours.
Yeah, I didn't do it for the money. I did it because it was the right thing to do. As Don was standing to leave, Les came over to take his place. They had that kind of rivalry.
Roberto, should I be offended you stood up Sarah Vaughn and me the other day?
Les, I couldn't care less if you were offended or not.
Don, you're not going to stay for Freddy's interview?
They got my son's murderer, Les. I have to be there to make sure justice is served. Good luck with it. Thanks again, Bob.
You're welcome, Don.
I'm sure Marjorie told you that she decided to let me speak to Freddy instead.
No, she didn't. But I know Marjorie loves renegotiating contracts.
Oh, Valerie!
Blackjack came into the dining room looking like she'd finally learned how to take things slow and easy, now that she'd unloaded her sister.
I'm ready to go, Bob.
Valerie, it's me, Les.
Who?
Leslie Manfred. I'm a good friend of your sister's. She promised to be here when I sat down with Freddy.
She won't be making that appointment.
Well, I'm wondering if you might do it instead. I think seeing a familiar face would be a comfort to him.
This club has always been my sister's world, not mine. Bob?
Right behind you. You listeners know I had the real story about Freddy and the dozens of other musicians just like him who'd been taken advantage of. It wasn't enough to write about it. But I keep telling this story so that every time you pick up a record or purchase a download, you'll wonder how much did that artist really get paid. Where do you want to go?
Just put it in gear and drive for a while.
Good evening, listeners. This is Leslie Manfred, live from the Ballyhoo, and do I have a special treat for you. After over 30 years of refusing to give interviews, I will be the first reporter to speak with Freddie Two Fingers. Everyone knows the work he's done with so many of the local jazz legends here, like Irv Williams, Oscar Pettiford, and the like. Freddie, thank you so much for being here. What is the most important thing that you want your listeners to know about jazz?
Jazz is...
Where the hell is he going? Freddie? Play one of his records.
Should I turn it off?
No, leave it on. This was Lonnie's favorite song.
And so, I let Freddie have the last word. After all, it was his story.
And so we close our Jazz Noir premiere of The Black Hand Side That Feeds You, an original radio drama written by Christina Hamm, with a jazz score composed by John Penny. The cast included Peter Moore as Bob Olson, Jane Froyland as Marjorie Nichols, James Williams as Don Crowley, Elizabeth Efteland as Valerie Nichols, Dan Peterson as Ezra Levine, Rhonda Gibson as Alice Warner, and Clarence Werther as Leslie Manfred. The Jazz Cats were Thomas West on the Hammond B3 organ, Nathan Norman on the drums, and John Penny on the guitar. Brother Brian Barnes provided sound effects for the production. Michael Jamnick was technical producer for the broadcast, and John Scherf and Evan Middlesworth handled recording and post-production. Support staff includes Craig Eichhorn right here at the Dakota, and folks like Travis Ryder, Michelle Jansen, and Brian Jackson at KBEM. Ed Jones directed the cast. Kevin Barnes, that's me, is the originator and producer of Jazz Noir. Jazz Noir is made possible through support provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, the Playwrights Center, the American Composers Forum, Dorsey Law Firm, and Jazz 88 KBEM in Minneapolis. We hope you've enjoyed this premiere edition of Jazz Noir. The radio show archive will be available online at jazz88fm.com. Thanks for tuning in. guitar. Nathan Norman on the drums. And the great Thomas West back here on the B3.